his favor rests. God, the highest, the King of heavens, who decided to make his throne in some hay. The Almighty, who thought it fit to lay in a manger. The author of life, who decided to become a man and somehow, by grace, to bring life to all men. Yes, us, the lowly creatures, made of dust and to dust returning, yet we are his beloved, the objects of his favor. And to us, he brings peace. I remember finding it odd all those years ago when Father told me that those silly people had been content with the animals, with the stable, and with the manger. There wasn't room for them in the inn, and they really hadn't seemed to mind. Father told me about them shortly after they arrived. A man, his wife, he thought, and the latter would be having a baby any day. His creased face had looked troubled as he told me. Was a stable any place to have a baby? But the stable was better than nothing. And now I am glad that it was the stable over anything. Father had asked me to come with him as he brought them bread and water after the rush of the crowd that busy night. I followed, carrying the water jar, but Father stopped at the entrance. Even from behind, I saw his hands were trembling. He nearly dropped the bread. Something was wrong. But a man's gentle voice had come from within. It's okay, welcome. I remember clutching the water jar and quietly entering after my father. It didn't take long to see what was worrying him. The baby had been born, and he was lying in the manger. That felt wrong for any baby. I mean, it feels strange now, knowing that that baby was a king. My king. My father tried to ease into the awkwardness. He held out the bread, his hands still trembling, and his gesture felt out of place as the baby in the feeding trough. Thank you, the other man said. Rising from his seat on the hay-covered floor, he received the food from my father's hand, covering the scene with grace. I'm Joseph, he said. I looked at him. He was young and clearly tired, but a broad and peaceful smile lit up his face. The mother was the same, weary but full of joy. She met my gaze and beamed. How quickly, though, she looked away, startled, yet still smiling, to the entrance of the stable. I turned and looked too. A glorious group of shepherds filled the room. I must describe them this way. They were shepherds in the fullest sense of the word. The worn sandals, the snagged clothes, the staffs, the gruff, and yes, the scent. But you should have seen their faces. You would have said glorious, too. They gathered around, excited, nearly singing. One was louder than the others. Glory to God on the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. They circled the manger, grinning. It's just as the angel said, one exclaimed. Good news of great joy to all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord, and there he is, the sign that we said we'd see, a babe wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. Okay. They sang and they praised and they bowed before the child, laughter, hugs, and then out they went as quickly as they came. We could hear them rejoicing in the streets as they left. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Even then, we knew that that tiny baby, wrapped up and lying in a feeding trough, was a gift. Divine had a different meaning than we had ever thought before. It was deeper, for divine had touched dust. It was sweeter, for the Creator could cry. It meant more, for our frailty became his frame. The Great One knelt, and the Perfect played. The One who holds the universe flipped it all on his head, looked straight into our eyes while slobbering, and meant that in all of it, he understood. We simply knelt after that and repeated the shepherd's praise. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests. Never has more worth been laid in the lonely than on that night when our Savior chose the stable. Thank you, Lord, for our light has come.
Wow, that was awesome. So, glory to God in the highest. Yeah. Amen. This morning I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about gifts, and I want to talk about food poisoning. The gift of food poisoning. Who opened up gifts this morning? Yeah. This morning I got a Nerf gun from my wife. I got two Nerf guns. One's battery operated. That puppy shoots like 180 feet per second. It's pretty good. Christmas has become a lot about gifts, and I find it a little bit ironic that it is supposed to be about gifts, but the gift that we celebrate should never end up in a landfill. And all of our toys, like my Nerf gun, is just petroleum-based plastic, and it'll end up, you know, in a landfill one day. And we're here because we know the true meaning should never end up anywhere near a landfill.
Amen.
Amen. So Christmas is this gift from our Heavenly Father. And let's look at Luke 2. Pardon me for my stuffy nose. I was sick as a dog yesterday. Yeah, I'm feeling better. Luke 2, verse 8. In that region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Christ, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the glorious hosts of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Whoa." We're going to go down a little bit to verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And inspired by the Spirit, he came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and said, and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to thy people Israel." And his father and mother were marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them too and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also." that thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. I want to propose to you something that the gift of Christ is to someone with food poisoning. And I want to propose that a gift is normally considered something that you want. Not often is it considered something you need. But the glory of Christ is that it's something that we need, and we need it desperately. And part of this story that somehow I've missed, and something I wanted to touch on, was that the coming of light reveals the darkness, and the coming of light reveals that we are sinners and we need a savior. And I think of someone with food poisoning, or for instance, someone just obsessed with their toys, and someone comes and says, "No, you need water." And he's like, no, I want a new car instead, you know. No, I want this Nerf gun. And the Lord says, no, you need living water for your soul or you're going to die. And I don't know if you've ever had food poisoning, but it's pretty gnarly. And for those of you born in the 60s, gnarly means pretty intense. And what is it? Old? Is it an older word than I think? All right. Well. I want to go to John 3:16. John 3:16. This is the Gospel of John. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. We usually stop right there. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Holy Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does what is true comes to the light, that it may be clearly seen, and his deeds have been wrought in God. Amen. Wrought means formed. So that's the part of the gospel that is sort of hard for me to hear, or for us to hear, and I thought it fitting on Christmas Day to speak on the severity of the human condition, and the way that we would rather have junk, you know, and it's so apparent in our culture, but we would rather have a new car than hear the gospel on Christmas Day. You know, people would rather be opening up gifts that are going to end up in a dump rather than hear that, hey, you're a sinner. You need a savior. You know, you're a mess. And preparing for this, I just kept hearing the Lord like, you know, they have food poisoning. Jesus, they need an IV. They need water. They need this fluid. Go give it to them. They need it. They need it. They're going to die. And two times this week, I'm like crying on my way to work. Like, that's the image I had of just like, Jesus, they need IVs. They're going to die. You know, they choose sin and darkness, and they don't know any better. And this story, it doesn't belong, you know, hidden while stupid toys are being preached, you know. So Christmas, Christmas is about what we need, not what we want. So there's this tension we have in this life. We want to be holy. Christ sent salvation. We're saved. We're righteous, all these things. But we're also faced with darkness, and we're faced with a conflict. And that's true, and that's in the Gospels. And it's cool how Jesus came and he proclaimed truth. He's like, hey, I'm your salvation. Here's the truth. The truth is you're going to die if you don't accept this Savior. If you don't accept that you need a Savior, if you don't accept that you're helpless, you know, you're going to die. I do, though, want to encourage us that the Lord has the last say in this. And I want to encourage us that he came to us. He has the first say and the last say. And I want to read for you guys Isaiah 61. Just the last bit. The whole thing's good, but the last bit is good too. I believe this is what Christmas is about. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. This, this gift of Christ, it deserves glory to God in the highest, like the shepherds sang. It doesn't belong pushed away like these toys. And it definitely doesn't belong in a landfill. So let's pray and close. And then Baron's going to come up and do the communion for us. And I encourage you, if you haven't acknowledged that you do need a Savior, that your soul needs something, and your soul wants something, consider this communion today. And for those of you who have accepted it, glory to God in the highest. It's a day of great joy. Lord, happy birthday. Thanks for all the gifts you've given us, all the excess, all the comforts. Thank you for giving us what we need, what we truly need, and we could never give to ourselves. And we could never fully consume you. Father, we bless you today. We pray that your image would be revealed through us somehow, and your light would shine before men. And we praise you, Lord. Amen.